had to do it at least one time. I've been fighting the urge to do it since the very first time we put headphones on and sat in front of microphones.
Well, like, it got
since the first time I've been fighting the urge.
Especially because it's like early. I was just wake up call.
Yeah, it's early because of our dedication to fights and Dylan's schedule.
I like it.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Like, the person I was hanging out with woke me up at like 6:30 this morning. So, like, I've been up for a couple hours.
I don't know. I'm a morning guy.
I am the opposite.
Well, you guys work night shifts. I get it.
No, I wasn't a morning guy when I worked day shifts. Yeah, there was a rule at ZSR, and don't talk to me before 9 a.m. We'd go to work anytime between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning, but if it's not 9 o'clock, don't talk to me.
If left to my own devices, I stay up until the morning. Like during coronavirus, when I was laid off, I spent a solid 2 months staying up until the sun came up, and that's when I would go to sleep.
I used to stay up super late, but like the older I get, the more I like the daylight.
I love mornings. Don't get me wrong. Like if I fall asleep early and happen to wake up early and like I'm getting like the sunrise and shit, I'm like, oh, this is a good moment.
The sun
like
can
this.
Go fuck itself. I don't care about it.
I was telling him it feels like we're on a morning radio show. And I was like, welcome to CDDJ 4.4 No M.
That's perfect. Do you want to intro this episode by doing your morning radio voice?
I don't have my morning radio voice. I sound like a 12-year-old girl. I mean, yeah, I'll do
it. Here's the thing. No matter what you say, you're going to sound like a 12-year-old girl.
Ooh.
So just do your morning renouncer voice and intro the goddamn podcast, Christian.
All right, boys, we are rolling.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to CDDJ 4.4 No M Podcast Radio.
I love that you went through all that and didn't say millennials suck one time.
Millennials suck. That's because I suck at being a millennial host,
well,
apparently.
We all suck.
How's everybody's week been? But any particular like super shitty days? I have one.
I had a pretty shitty day the other day because I got some stupid news and then I almost murdered somebody at work the other day. I've just been working too much, so my patience for my job is getting slim.
Same. Right there with you.
Like, I'm a relatively patient dude, but like the more time I spend around people like consecutively, like my patience starts to dwindle less and less every night. And me and this kid that I work with literally take all the same overtime shifts and we work right next to each other every day. And he's 19, so I don't like him. And and I try to be patient, but the other night I just snapped. I was like literally charging upstairs to go fucking scream in his face before my boss stopped me. What was your bad day about, bro?
All right. So I think it was Thursday. I spent the night with my girlfriend the night before.
Nice.
And like, I'm not on that level of comfortability where I'm like ready to shit in her house.
Can't fart in front of her yet?
No, I can do that.
Okay.
But like, it's just like basically clearing out the upstairs. Like, ugh. Anyway, so I end up like having
like
to leave.
Clearing out the upstairs. Well, we know he wipes so good. That he
Oh yeah, but it's dropping the bomb, man. That's what I'm terrified of. Like her parents are real old. I don't want one of them to
Does
walk
she live
in
with
and
her
like
parents?
Die. Temporarily. She just recently moved back in with them.
I'm not judging.
But
I'm
like,
just asking.
Yeah. Anyway, she's wanting me to hang out for a little bit. And then like it hit me like instantly. I was like, actually, I have to go. I'm going to like find the nearest UDF and go take a shit.
Like, hey, I got to run to the store. I'll be back.
So if you were college, you're like the Boilermakers right now. You're like, yep. You're stewing.
Oh, yeah. And I get to this UDF. Instantly run to the bathroom. I sit down, do my business. There's no toilet paper.
Oh, no.
I'm looking around for paper towels because there's none of those either.
The fucking, the energy saver fucking, I have such a problem with those.
They're dirty.
I'm okay with destroying this fucking planet if it means that we can have paper towels in bathrooms again. I'm just throwing that out there.
So I look over at the fucking hand dryer because I even contemplating washing my ass in the sink. There's a fucking bullet hole in the goddamn hand dryer.
Where does your girlfriend live?
Mount Healthy.
Makes sense.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, I can't just fucking sit in here the whole time. So I end up ripping my fucking boxers off.
Oh, no.
Like, completely tearing them and I made like little individual sheets to wipe my ass. And then, of course, there's knocks on the door. So I'm trying to hurry up and not make too much noise while I'm like shredding my fucking underwear. Get up to throw away the fucking evidence. And then...
this is a shit show.
Oh, literally.
Yeah.
And then when I get up to like wash my hands, that I completely forgot about the fucking hand dryer having a hole in it. So like...
You're just walking with like, wet hands. Yeah, the worst feeling in the world is when you come out of the bathroom and your hands are still wet and you touch things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just feels like it's like you just have wet hands. It's just water and it's just stuff.
And your hands are clean.
But it feels so gross.
It's so gross.
I hate it. It really does. That's unfortunate, buddy.
I mean, I got a similar story. I got fired from Citibank for shitting my pants.
Real quick, for just in case there are any non-Cincinnati listeners, Mount Healthy is on the west side of Cincinnati, and there is...
It's not a very healthy mountain.
The west side of Cincinnati in itself is a shit show, but Mount Healthy is like top five most like run-down areas of Cincinnati. So
I think we've discussed that before, like the gentrification of downtown has just kind of shoved things west.
Oh, I think we talked about that in the episode we never released.
That's possible too.
The one that we did right before the Denny episode. The one that we were going to release, and then we sat down with Denny and we're like, this is so much better. We're going to release this one instead. What's your Citibank shit story? Well, let's get all the shit stories out of the way.
I can't prove that it's why they fired me, but I know. So, all right, fresh out of high school.
It's not why they fired me, but that's why they fucking fired me.
No. So, fresh out of high school, right? Just graduated, and I don't know what to do with my life. I didn't go to college right away. And that's fine. Whatever. So, Citibank is a, for those that aren't around us, a very popular job in our area because it's just a huge call center that's by where I live. So a lot of people work there. So I applied, and I get the job. And the night before, my first day at work, I went to get Chipotle. and so I ate that and I went to bed.
And this is back when Chipotle used to load their shit.
Yeah. So
you had those fucking forearm size logs, bro.
I'm like 90% sure I got food poisoning because I woke up the next morning and I was pale as this white table. Like I was white as a ghost. My stomach was killing me. But I didn't want to miss my first day because that looks real bad.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean? You never want
to
do that.
So I'm like, I'm driving to work, right? And I'm literally sweating in the car. Like,
oh no.
like I'm getting there and I pull in. And instantaneously throw up all over myself.
Oh, no.
Well, luckily I have clothes in my car. So I didn't have pants. And it got on my pants. But I did take my shirt off. I got another shirt, but it was all over my pants. So I run in there before my shift starts. I'm like in the bathroom, like cleaning. But I smell like throw up. And I know I do. It's awful. But my dumbass, this is like first big boy job, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Just graduated high school. I don't know anything about life. I'm like, I gotta go still. So I go in there. And in the orientation, there's like 50 guys or 50, like 50 people. And then all these chairs. And then I sit down and it's me and like 30 chairs and everybody else. Because I just reach and I know. And I'm sitting there embarrassed. But I like, whatever. I don't give a shit. So I'm there. I smell like throw up and disgusting. And everyone knows it because they're like, oh. So whatever. It was a miserable day. I go back home, and the next day, I wake up. I'm like, all right, I feel better. Today will be a good day.
Oh, no.
So I'm walking in all confident at work, like, all right, I got to make a good impression because I did not make a very good impression my first day. And straight up just diarrhea shat my pants in the parking lot on the way in.
Fuck.
Like, uncontrollable. No. Like, it was nuts because I thought that I was fine, but I took, I guess, I don't know, one too many happy steps, and it was just like, was running down my leg. So I run into the bathroom.
Oh.
I go in the bathroom. Like, I'm taking my pants off. I threw away my boxers in the trash can. And I'm, like, cleaning the inside of my pants. It was in my socks. I threw my socks away.
Oh, no, dude.
God.
So then I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know about calling in sick. I'm just afraid I'm going to get fired. So my dumb ass puts my pants back down and goes, and I smell like shit. And then again, day two, I sit down. And everybody else sits on the other side of the room. And so, like, I'm almost positive. Like 2 weeks later, they're like, hey, Christian, can you come over here? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we don't think this is going to work out.
I'm like, because you smelled like shit.
Because I pooped my pants, man. I didn't mean to. I was nervous.
So, yeah, first day?
Dude, it was that. Well, I puked on myself my first day and then crapped my pants the second day.
Yeah, they fired you because they thought you were gross.
It turns out I went to the doctor and I ended up having like a really bad flu.
No shit.
That I was just powering through.
So it wasn't fucking food poisoning. Because Chipotle doesn't give people food poisoning because it's the happiest place on earth.
But I thought it was, the reason I kept going is because I thought it was food poisoning because I ate Chipotle.
Right.
But it wasn't. It turned out I had like a really nasty flu.
Chipotle doesn't poison people.
So call in sick, guys. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Definitely don't go to work and shit yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah. Ever since my family calls it the shitty bank story.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I use like pregnancy terms to like describe like how bad I have to shit.
I don't know enough pregnancy terms to discuss my stomach issues.
Well, let's all have a pregnant pause. What are your pregnancy terms?
Like, so one particular story, I weirded my boss out at St. Vincent and...
The fuck is St. Vincent?
It's like St. Vincent de Paul, the thrift store that I used to work at.
It's the same thing.
You used to work at a thrift store?
Yeah, I said that in like the first episode that I was on.
Where we get the couches.
Shows how much you paid.
Listen, man,
we
said a lot in a lot of episodes. I can't be expected to remember everything.
What are we
remember
in? This is what, episode 6?
Yeah, you remember every mispronunciation I say.
Yeah.
No, I remembered us arguing about your mispronunciations, and then I heard it back and realized I was right both times and went and I had to throw it in your face because we argued about it.
Anyway, she comes up to me. She's trying to talk to me about like clearing off the dock, you know, breaking up furniture and shit like that. I just got in. And,
oh, you did talk about it because the people taking couches to the trash bag. You're right.
And I was like, okay, can we make it quick though? Because I have to go. And like in mid conversation, I said, let me pause you right there. I'm starting the crown. And the look on her face was priceless.
That's fantastic.
Oh gosh. No.
Moving on, we've been talking about shit for far too long. Shit. Dylan, buddy, how have you been? I noticed recently that for some reason, I'm just mean to you all the time.
Well, listen, I appreciate it.
And I know why it is.
It's a hilarious dynamic.
You started it.
That is true.
You started it.
You did start it.
I let like 4 bald jokes go the first time you guys came in. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this dude. And ever since then, every time you say anything, I'm like...
Well, mirror on the wall on top of your face looking ass. It's one of my favorite things.
I was hanging out with a friend of mine last night and I was telling her about how I yelled at you for saying that Megan Fox wasn't attractive.
Oh wow.
That still bothers me.
Yeah, I'm sure it would bother most dudes.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I think you mentioned it that day too. I do find it really fucking funny that us 4 cavemen are like making fun.
Who the fuck are we? That's the problem, I think. There's a disconnect between celebrities and regular people in that we idealize them so much that it puts us in a position where we don't look at them as regular people. So
absolutely.
So it gives people this idea of like comparing them amongst each other, but not comparing them like to regular people. So like you'll be like, yeah, Megan Fox is... She's not even that pretty. And you're just like,
which is
what? She is a California 9.5. Fuck you mean she's not that pretty, dog. Well, she's not as pretty as this celebrity that I think is prettier. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, here's the other thing too. Like, I think
we would be legally prosecuted if we tried to drink her bathwater. We don't even deserve to be in the same species as her. Like, why are we discussing these people like this?
No, it's funny. You're right. Cause I don't think people do it on purpose, but I think that you just don't view celebrities as normal people. It's the same reason why, like, when a celebrity goes out to dinner, you wouldn't walk up to some random stranger in the middle of their dinner and interrupt them. But celebrities like constantly have to like deal with that.
You know how many cases I would catch if I was a celebrity?
Oh, I do.
Like, I'm one of those people, like, I do a lot of things alone. Like, I enjoy doing things alone. Like, when I lived on the West Side, there was this little fucking Chinese buffet that wasn't good. But I would go there twice a week and just sit and I would watch my anime and I would just eat for like 3 hours.
That actually sounds dope.
It's great. That's when I started going to movies by myself.
I used to
like
do
that
all the time.
I love, one of my favorite things in the world when I have the time and there's something that I care to see is going to the movies on a Tuesday. Cause like, I don't know how it is in other places, but here in Cincy, like every Tuesday at pretty much every movie theater, it's half price.
Yeah.
And I'll just go and I'll watch a fucking movie by myself.
Absolutely. I love it too. And you know why? I hate going to the movies with people. Because if I'm going to the movie, I want to watch the movie. I don't want to fucking talk. I don't want you to lean over and make a comment. Like, so I literally don't ever go to the movies unless it's like a date night or something.
Yeah, I don't like the movie theater because like I feel like I can't be me at movie theaters. Like, if
and
you
there's
watch
always
a movie with
this guy trying to open his fucking cookie dough bag.
Yeah,
right.
Oh.
Fucking bag inside the
box. And then I'm the guy that's, I know I'm being annoying, and I'm the guy that I hate.
That's how I am. Like when if you sit and watch a movie with me, like I'm gonna pay attention to the movie. Mm-hmm. But numerous times, I discussed it on the last episode that was released. Legitimately, I will lean over and I will make a joke about what's going on, or I will ask you a question about something I missed, or I will fucking like, yo, that shit's fucking dope, dude. Did you see that shit?
See, I'm
you
the same way, dude.
That's how I am. Like, so when I go to movies with people, I have to go with specific kinds of people, like people who watch movies the same way I do. Because if you're one of those people, it's like, shut the fuck up. There's a movie on. We're not going to have a good time. Yeah. I'm going to bother you. You're going to be an asshole and it's going to bother me. So like, I like going by myself because I talk to myself all the time. I'm my favorite person to have conversations with.
Dude, self-adventures are some of the funnest.
Yeah,
too,
so like I love doing things that you're supposed to do with other people by yourself. My ex thought it was really sad. she's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see the new Spider-Man. She's like, who are you going with? I was like, me. She's like, you're not, what are you?
Me and Spider-Man, bitch.
I was like, I'm going to go get something to eat and then I'm going to go watch the new Spider-Man. And she's like, by yourself? And I was like, yeah. She goes, that makes me so sad. I was like,
why though?
I was like, I'm choosing to do it. Like, I purposely did not invite anyone else. If somebody else had texted me, like, hey, bro, you want to hang out? I'd be like, nah, I'm about to go see a movie. Can I go with you? Nah, I'm about to go see a movie. Like, I just enjoy doing things by myself.
I would say the only time I've ever, like, been one of those, like, super animated people, like, stood up, like, whoa, in a movie theater. And the movie itself was just okay, but there was one scene in it. It was the first Godzilla remake, like the with Bryan Cranston in it.
The one that had the dude from Kick-Ass in it.
The first one. There's a scene where within the final fight where Godzilla just like opens up the thing's mouth and just boom, this like fucking laser beam through his head. And on we watched it in the HDR screen, me and my best friend. And it was like this huge, and we were like, yeah! we stood up. Like, that was awesome.
Me and I don't know how many of you guys are Star Wars nerds, but I'm a huge one. And
Star Wars nerds, bro.
We're gonna do this already. It is fucking 10:02 in the morning. I've been up for 4 hours. I slept for 2.5 hours last. Are we going to do this?
We can.
Please
you
do.
Have, like. Your eyes look like annoying marbles. Shut up. So we went and saw Rogue One. And Rogue One is, in my opinion, arguably out of all like 13 of them, the best Star Wars movie. It's up there. If it's not the best, it's the second best. I probably have to give it to Return because Return, the whole I am your father thing was just such a huge moment in cinematic history. So you kind of have to give it to Return. But if you're talking about just pure like watch value, the best Star Wars movie is Rogue One, in my opinion, because it's like the most warsy Star Wars movie. There's actual war in the stars. But we were watching it and there's this scene, if you guys have never seen it, where they're all on this planet and it's like you think that like the small group of rebels just... That's why they're called Rogue One, because they just took a ship and just were like, fuck it, we're going after it. And they went to like the Empire's like information, like the Pentagon planet of the Empire, trying to get the Death Star plans. And there's this scene where you're like, all right, they can do this. And then just out of all this dust and trees and shit, you just see a walker come up. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I looked at my dude, Derek, and he was like, fuck. And then like the dude next to us was like, shh. And then after that, like, we just made sure we super animated all of our fucking
emotions.
Like, yeah, like, every time we'd react, it was like, ooh! Because here's my thing.
Just look
like,
the guy in the eye.
Here's my thing.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
Like, I feel like if somebody's being rude, you know what I mean? Okay, it's okay to insert yourself. Like, hey, do you guys mind? You know, whatever. But it was just one moment, you know, 85% through the movie. Right. Where we were just excited about what was happening.
Well, it's like a scary movie. Like, if someone jumps at a jump scene, like, huh, like, shut the fuck up. Like, so are you like, kidding me? It's a scary movie.
Like, so it's like when you're a fucking asshole to people who are just being naturally themselves, you know what I mean? And not really bothering you. At that point, I feel like it is my moral obligation to then do everything I can to drive you up a fucking wall. And I'm a really annoying person if I want to be. Like, I stifle, like, 60% of my personality so that I'm not annoying to people because I'm self-aware. Like, I literally just turn it up to 11 and I'm like, fuck you, buddy. You're going to hate the last 20 minutes of this movie, I
Would
promise
you. Say you.
You
turn into a Ryan during that last 20 minutes?
Ooh.
Dude, are you on that level of annoying?
Are we going to fling that around? You Ryan?
Yeah, we can
You're
totally
being a Ryan
like
right
that.
Now.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I'm a Ryan in that I deserve to live when I'm done.
Okay. That's fair.
No, I fucking hate people who have to insert their own standard of like social conduct on other people.
You know, absolutely. What I
mean? Like there's a difference between like if you and your friends are out in like a mall or something and you guys are just screaming obscenities and being obnoxious and somebody comes and says something to you, that's one thing. You know what I mean? Right. But if like same situation, if you're watching a movie in public, you know what I mean? Movies are a form of art, like we've talked about before, and all art is it's there to like manipulate and incite emotion. You know what I mean? You're supposed to react to these
things. Yeah, absolutely.
They did that scene so that people like me would be like, oh shit. You know what I mean? I reacted appropriately and you're being an asshole about it. I did it one time. One time and you were a dick about it. So now I have to fuck the rest of your night up.
I think that if I was in a movie and I was like, oh fuck. And someone's like, hey, I got a kid. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. Different. Yeah.
Like, but like, if I'm just like, oh, fuck, they're like, shut up.
But I mean, if you're sitting there watching The Incredibles with a room full of kids and you go, oh, fuck, like, that's on you.
Well, to be fair, I don't know, Star Wars is a children's movie series.
Is it a children's movie series?
Yeah. Listen okay. Okay, so.
Star Wars?
Yeah. It's the. Yes, 100%.
I always consider it like all ages, like literally.
I agree with that because.
What is its rating?
PG-13.
Okay.
But you have to consider how Star Wars is. You know what I mean? They target it so that, you know, older kids,
yeah, it's
young
a 13 boys wet dream.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just like pretty girls, laser guns,
yeah,
weird animals,
space,
robots, space. You know what I mean? Like it's targeted for younger people. And that's why I fucking hate Star Wars fans. Because you have these 55-year-old dudes who went and saw Empire when it came out. And now all of a sudden every fucking movie is terrible because it's not fucking made for you.
I'll be honest. I stopped watching the Star Wars because I almost couldn't stand it on Facebook because it's like for years people were begging for more Star Wars. They get more Star Wars and then all they did was complain about it.
Yeah, that's like I say it all the time as a joke, but I legitimately hate Star Wars.
My brother is a huge Star Wars fan and he makes posts all the time how Star Wars fans don't deserve Star Wars.
It's a fact. Like think about all of the people that they have bullied in these last three fucking the most recent trilogy.
Didn't that one girl like literally quit acting because
no
of
no,
it?
No 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 no. She deleted all of her like she was supposed to be a big character for the second and third movie of the last trilogy, but the last Skywalker trilogy for The Last Jedi and Rise of the Skywalker, but because of public reaction and how much like stress the internet was putting on her, they pulled her role back for Rise of Skywalker.
That's a shame.
And it's like, why would you do that? Like, this is a human. And then it goes back to what we were just talking about, like idealizing people and all this shit. But it's like, I honestly, like we talked about it with the whole Ryan Jared episode. And it was just like, dude, I have just this internal, like aggressively violent hatred for excessively selfish people. And it's like, you are literally, you're upset that this movie that was not fucking made for you is not every single fucking thing you wanted it to be. So you have to go out and you have to fucking shit on it and you have to try and make everybody else hate it like you do. And you have to attack the people who are just doing their fucking job. She didn't write the goddamn movie. She didn't write a role. She was like, Star Wars? Fuck yeah, I'm taking it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, she was just doing her job. And she did her job well. She played her role well. She's not a bad actress. She did a good job at what she was supposed to do. And like, you just want to impose your will because it's not what you wanted. And it's like, go fuck yourself.
Absolutely.
I don't understand the type of people. And this shit happens with comic music, book movies, yeah, with music, with pretty much any type of, there's a source material, something comes out. And it's like, every fucking time people are just like, it's not right because it's not the way I wanted it to be. So it fucking sucks. And now everybody should hate it too. And it's just like, fuck you. If that's the way Absolutely. You go through life, you're gonna have a fucking miserable existence. Oh. And you deserve to have a miserable existence.
For real. One of my biggest pet peeves, especially with music, I made a post about this because when I talk about my posts, because of being in the band, I've got a lot of people that follow me musically.
Being in what band?
When I was in Disguise.
Oh, okay.
That follow me musically as well as I follow a lot of people musically.
So I don't want to interrupt you because we're talking about something super important, but you need to understand something.
What?
I have theories about you. I think you're lying to me and I'm doing investigative, manipulative conversational journalism to try and figure out what you have going on. Because last time you said you were practicing something and then you changed it. No. And now I want to know what the fuck is happening.
See,
I think you're lying
any practice,
to me.
Okay? I'm just saying.
I don't know.
We were just all hanging out, man.
Yeah. That means that you know something I don't know. which means I'm going to start fucking with you too.
That doesn't mean I'm going to tell you
eventually,
shit.
One of you is going to slip up and I'm going to nail you. And on this podcast, I'm going to find out what the fuck you two are doing.
Nah, go ahead. I took
you're just
a
like
note,
sacrificing probably. Cats in Josh's basement.
Well, leave cats pretty alone, much. Man.
I'm just kidding.
You ever seen Evil Dead?
The you're at Josh's
where they
basement.
Find all the dead cats.
Yeah,
the...
we hang out. He's a friend of mine.
Josh is good people.
Josh is great people.
Anyways, back to my
story. But y'all were at practice in Josh's basement.
We were hanging out.
Ooh, things are getting dicey.
I think
anyway,
I was in the basement
continue
all
with
of
your post about
anyways,
music.
So there's always these people, in specifically in the Cincinnati music scene, that want to post like posts like least favorite concert experience. Like what band, what album came out that you were hyped for that sucked? Like why? Post, why? So I was like, let's post, how about this? Don't be a gatekeeper. Let people like what they like. And how about we talk about music we just like and just don't shit on other people.
How about
opinions?
This? How about we all recognize because we have made music, right? That we all know for a fact that just because you don't like something doesn't mean
it's
bad.
Bad.
You know what I mean? And I said this and a lot of people disagreed with me and it pissed me off because it was other musicians who were saying it. I said, if you think that the good music is not being made, and you do not make it yourself. Shut the fuck up. And I stand by that. I don't, your opinion, okay, everybody is entitled to an opinion, right? Mm. Not everyone's opinion has value in every situation. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
If I'm a fucking, if I'm a fucking music theory professor and, you know, I'm a producer and I've produced platinum after platinum album and I make something and some fucking troll, and I don't mean troll as an internet troll. I mean like frizzy-haired fat piece of shit in his mom's basement is online fucking typing away how my work is shit. Like, I don't give a fuck about what you're saying. Your opinion doesn't matter because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And I fucking hate when other musicians, and there's one specifically that I just deleted off my Facebook.
I know
I have
exactly
in
what you're talking about. Hold on. Wait, I'm going to mouth something.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yep. You see, like how I got to the first syllable and was like, absolutely.
Negative,
he,
man.
He's
just fucking, negative about everything.
He's one of those people that anything that isn't 100% exactly the way that he fucking thinks it should be, it's fucking bad. And he thinks because he produces music and he's made music for so long, he thinks he's the fucking authority on it. And you're not. Because he was shitting on Dance Gavin Dance the other day. That was the last straw with me. And I'm not a huge Dance Gavin Dance fan. I'm a 50-50 Johnny Craig fan. I love how talented he is. I hate him.
I saw an entire thread the other day. It was like 20 people talking about like, this dude is like arguably the biggest piece of shit in the music scene.
He's got a good
but
voice.
But everything he's touched has turned to gold.
Everything he touches is amazing.
Every band
he's
been
a creative
in,
genius. He's vocally amazing. Untouchable. In my opinion, he is my favorite vocalist ever.
I would agree with that.
He's so great. He just sucks as a person.
Yeah.
But he posted a status about Dance Gavin Dance. Or somebody posted a status about Dance Gavin Dance. And he commented this whole thing underneath it about how they were shit. And I'm like, you're going to tell me Dance Gavin Dance is a bad fucking band? They have some of the most intricate guitar lines in fucking progressive hardcore. They are the reason why progressive hardcore is taking the fucking direction that it is.
100%. And it's a cool direction,
they
dude.
Picked up where Chiodos left off and fucking ran
love
with it.
Love Chiodos.
And it was yes. like, just because you don't like their newer stuff, is that it goes back to what we were talking about. I know the evolution and such of that nature, but like, just because you don't like the music doesn't mean it's bad. Shut the fuck up. Your opinion means nothing. You play bass in a pop punk band and from Dayton, Ohio. Who gives a fuck what you have to say? My biggest pet peeve is people like him and another guy who's a gatekeeper who think that they have just all of the knowledge on what every band should do and how everyone should, you know, should just, you know, follow their advice to make it music who have never fucking made it in music. Like, I know bands that are bigger than you. Why the fuck would I listen to you?
Absolutely. Do you remember that anime thing you added me to on?
Yeah, I actually had to unfollow it because I had way too many fucking threads on it.
I'm about to too, but the other day it was the same thing. It was like, You know anime? Name five anime other than a shonen. And then everyone was like going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then my post was like, or you could just like what you like and not be a gatekeeper. And then like people started like ding, 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 like in my post.
Or you could just, I would have just named five shonen animes. I'd have been like Naruto, Dragon Ball Z.
That's the one of my biggest pet peeves about like communities. I'll just use this anime community as an example. Because there's popular things in something and you enjoy those, you're not a part of the community unless you've seen 500 other animes. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Here's my thing. Why in the fuck is it a problem to only know mainstream shit?
Like, it's not.
Like, people have this fucking mentality when people are super into stuff that if you only know the mainstream shit, that you're, like, not a part of the community.
Like, you're a lesser.
But it's like, how? Like, because well, that's
the elitist thing.
It goes into, like, how in the fuck am I fucking less of a music fan if the only music that I have the time to listen to is the shit that everybody knows?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a reason why songs are mainstream. There's a reason why when people say, what's your favorite, you know, A Day to Remember song, it's always the ones that are the most popular. There's a reason for that. They were made to be like that. You know what I mean?
This is why I hate getting into conversations with people who, like, you'll talk to metalheads and shit like that. Who
I
are
have
like,
to say, they're the worst.
They're some of the most elitist, but like they'll just like shit on modern pop music for the sake of shitting on modern pop music. Like, if you're going to tell me that these people making millions of dollars have not developed the skill worthy of that millions of dollars.
Well, let's be completely honest.
You're completely an idiot.
Let's be completely honest. First of all, I'm not a huge pop fan, at least not like late 90s to early 2000s.
But you're not saying they suck.
But like, first of all, if we're talking about pure vocal talent, like from a technical perspective,
I know
pop artists
are
the best on the planet. And when you start looking at pop music is taking a very wild swing up. They're doing more experimental shit and they're fucking making pop music good.
Pop music is getting heavy.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Absolutely. Love it.
I say right now, the easiest for a band like that I was in and like Twic and stuff, the easiest pop person to cover right now is Billie Eilish because she has built-in breakdowns in her songs.
And Billie Eilish, in my opinion, is spearheading a fucking amazing movement with pop music. They're adding identity to pop music again.
You should listen to her brother.
Does he have like solo stuff?
Yeah. You should listen to Miley Cyrus's brother.
Well,
Metro Station? Metro Station.
I forget his name, but
I know he makes her music and he's real good at it.
Yeah, Google Billie Eilish's brother. I forget his name, and I went and just checked out his music. It's phenomenal.
Amazing producer.
I think she's
like 18.
Okay,
she just turned 18.
I didn't know how old she was. I'd only just started listening to her music. What, you introduced me to her? What, back in November, maybe December, that time frame?
I'm not sure exactly.
I love Melanie Martinez
And my thing is like,
she's great.
Like, everybody talks about like, and again, it's going to sound pseudo hypocritical based on what I just said, but like, everybody talks about like, you know, bad guy and stuff like that. But look at songs like When the Party's Over.
Yeah.
Oh. And there's one she did with Khalid. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. That's the first one I actually listened to.
Good. And it's like she's doing like, pop is doing things.
What's that one song?
They're trying to take back the number one genre spot.
Yeah. What's that one song she does? I love it. I'm terrible with song names, but it's I don't need a Zanny to feel better. That song.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about.
Is it called Zanny?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That song is so good.
Dude, Billie Eilish makes great music. I feel like the problem though, but going back to the original point with like metalheads and shitting on pop music and stuff like that, it's just like people are bitter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, rock and roll and metal was the biggest genre in the world. You know what I mean?
Definitely not now.
In the 90s, you know, dad rock into pop took over. And then pop had a death grip on the number one spot for years. And then arena country started kind of edging its way up. And
dude,
then
hip-hop just stomped everybody
yeah,
out.
Yeah, dude. You can't touch hip-hop right now.
And I think hip-hop's going to have a death grip on music for at least the next 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
I honestly believe that.
It appeals to almost everybody. I mean,
and it's cool because I'm getting into this mentality where I'm finding artists that are doing things with the new sound that I find respectable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As artists. Because like, again, I know it makes me an asshole, but like,
I really like Youngblood. I think he's really unique.
I fuck with Lil Baby so much.
Lil Baby?
That dude, like.
Have you seen those memes where like, where he has that line of, nah, change the flow. Doesn't change the flow.
Yeah, but like his song, like I just started getting into him, but like he actually, like, he's not, obviously he's not Nas, he's not Big. I've come to the terms that I'm gonna get one or two real lyricists per like class of hip hop artists for a while, and I'm fine with that. But people are still saying shit. Like, listen to, I know it's super popular right now. It's the only reason why I know it. It's the reason why I started listening to him. The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's actually saying something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Listen to this song. I think it's called something. Like, I don't remember. Hold on. I think it's called like Internal Scars or some shit like that. And it's all about like, like, obviously he's taking a standard, you know, fuck these hoes rapper approach, but he's actually saying something. He's talking about his own damage. You know what I mean?
His music videos are lit too. It's like a party.
There's another song that I really like that is that I don't, it reminds me of like what, you know, your mid-tier rappers in the early 2000s would make if it was, you know, new wave. And it's called Walk 'Em Down. And it's somebody featuring Roddy Ricch. I'm not a huge Roddy Ricch fan at all, but like, it's so fucking good. Oh, hold on, I'm trying to look this dude's name. It's NLE Choppa featuring Roddy Ricch. It's called Walk 'Em Down. And it's so fucking good. Like, that beat slaps hard as shit. The fucking, I don't know where it's coming from. It's been happening this entire time.
And every time you touch your phone, it goes away, so... I don't know what's going on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just keep your phone on your lap.
Yeah. Your phone's being a gatekeeper.
Apparently. But sorry, folks, we're having technical difficulties. But no, like when it comes to like, again, back to the original point, when it comes to these music purists, and I understand that not everybody who listens to this is going to be a metal fan or whatever, but like, just chill the fuck out. Like, your opinion, like music is an individual thing. You're not, like, the cool thing about music is we can make communities about what we enjoy. But at the end of the day, it's about what type of music influences you in what ways. What do you enjoy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If all you're going to do is shit on people, why do you want to be a part of a community of people? You know what I mean?
You know, when
you just
I was
want, in, you yeah. just want your fucking opinion validated. You just want a bunch of people to be like, yeah, you're right. Fuck these people. Fuck
when
you.
When I was in high school, I was like, I don't want to say like that a lot, but I was. I was, because I thought, like, you know, I'm 16. It's like, no, that band sucks. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of pretending that I don't like Miley Cyrus. I have a Miley Cyrus CD in my car right now.
Miley Cyrus is incredibly talented. She takes almost everything in the studio.
My point being is, like, I was tired of pretending I didn't like these things because I was supposed to not like these things.
And I have a whole story about that.
If you take that same mentality and just say, hey, I fucking like what I like, and apply it to life, you are going to be a much happier person. I would say... you guys could probably test this. I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah. I have a whole story. Like, okay, so I used to be like only heavy shit all the time. Like, I make fun of Annotations of an Autopsy all the time. Like, I think you and I talked about it like two or three times ago before we mic'd up. Like, I would only listen to the heaviest shit I could find. Like, I used to think Job for a Cowboy had more than one good song. Like,
I like Job for a Cowboy.
I like the same song by Job for a Cowboy that everybody
the one
likes.
With the scream?
Entombment of a Machine.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember that video we did?
but it got to a point to where, like, I refused to listen to anything else. And then I kind of started phasing out of that, you know what I mean? In like 18, 19 years old. And I was at Warped Tour with some friends, and then Cody Sinners and all of that group of friends was all there, as he's a friend of mine and Dylan's. We were all there. And I ran into him, and like, I was on my way to go, I was gonna go sit for Against Me until the band after them played, and they were on their way to go watch Black Veil Brides at the side stage. And they were like, you gonna come watch Black Veil Brides with us? I was like, nah, I'm gonna go sit and play on my phone while Against Me plays until they're done, because I refuse to watch Black Veil Brides. And then it was about the time that Set the World on Fire came out, and I was at my friend Cody's house just chilling, and like, he's just listening to this song, and I'm like, I think it was either Legacy or Fallen Angels. And I was like,
oh, that's such a good song.
I was like, oh. I was like, what the fuck is this? He goes, you like that? I was like, yeah. And this was literally like 2 weeks later. And he pulls up another song. He's like, what do you think about this one? And I'm like, this song slaps too. Is this the same band? He's like, yeah. He pulls up one more song, and it was Knives and Pins. And I recognized the video, because at this point I'm paying attention. And I like, he pull up the video, and I like, I recognize the video, and I'm like, why does that look familiar? And I'm like, this song isn't bad either. He goes, this is Black Veil Brides, you elitist piece of shit. Turns out, like, I was a fan of Black Veil Brides and didn't even know it. And it was all because the internet told me that I should fucking
absolutely
hate Black Veil Brides.
One of my favorite things to do is when I'm in the car with someone that is kind of like on the edge like that with their friend, I'll put on like songs that I know they of bands I know they shit on before, and just wait until they're like, who is this?
I'm my
like,
favorite,
that's my favorite thing
that's
to do.
That's Pierce LaVille, you bitch. You
my
said you hated
my favorite thing about Wes. I'm sorry, buddy. I got to do it. My favorite thing about Wes, I think that he's stopped doing it now because we fucked with him so hard about it. But like, he would claim that he hates softer bands.
Which,
right?
Which Wes?
Merritt.
Okay.
I distinguish them by Wes and Pippin. Pippin is Wes Davis.
Oh, yeah. I should have known that. Yeah. Sorry.
Merritt, what we would do is like, songs would come on and he'd be getting into them. He'd be like, who is this? He'd be like, oh, this is A Day to Remember. Because he would always say he hated A Day to Remember. He'd be like, I fucking hate A Day to Remember. Fuck those pussies. And then he'd be like,
but I kind of like it.
What
though.
Song is this? Like, oh, it's a song called Sometimes You're the Nail, Sometimes You're the Hammer. He goes, oh, who's it by? A Day to Remember. Fuck you. I remember there was one time we were driving to Louisville. It was me, I want to say Jared at the time, Wes and Alex. And Wes and Alex were in the backseat. And it's my car. Like, I'm listening to whatever the fuck I want. I'm driving. It's my car. We're going to listen to whatever I want. And as Alex and as Alex referred to it, it was the 2011 Warped Tour playlist. But like Asking Alexandria came on. And I can't remember if it was Morte or it was somehow.
Oh, and I bet they liked it.
And
they
loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking, they were good, like, oh, though. Shit, who is this? I was like, oh, you fuck with that? Hold on, let me play you another one. And I played another song. And I think it wasn't To the Stage. It was what's that one at the end of the album where he's like, the fire fills the skies, the smoke fills my lungs.
Oh,
what a beautiful notion. A single action brings this city to motion. It was whatever the name, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was that song. And they were like, fuck, who is this? I was like, it's Asking Alexandria, you fucking assholes. I love doing that to people. It's great.
It's
fun. But it used to be fun because like every time we were on the road, we would get Wes with like a band that he's supposedly hated and him fucking with the song. It was really funny. It came to a pinnacle when we played with A Day to Remember at Incarceration because the next day, me and Wes were wearing the same shirt. And it was that A Day to Remember fucking baseball tee that I bought when I bought my hat. And I was like, but fuck A Day to Remember, right, Wes?
I think the only band that's like universal, the internet is correct in their hatred for, and somebody played me their music trying to do that same thing. And I was still like, this is awful. Fucking Blood on the Dance Floor. That's the worst thing to ever happen.
Bro, Dylan, bro. They make me cringe. They sing out of tune, first off.
And out of tune, off key, and just fucking vocalist, awful.
Like, when I...
They're objectively bad.
There is a difference between, like, something that, like, Chodos does, where he isn't always perfect on the notes, but he sings in the right key.
I love Chodos Owens.
But there's so much emotion behind it that it's fine.
Yeah, there's a difference between...
What Blood on the Dance Floor ever did was not, that was so bad.
It was, and I'm going to say this, like, it's very rare that you can make objective claims about art, but Blood on the Dance Floor was objectively bad.
No, terrible.
They were technically bad at their vocal styles. Their music was technically bad. It was just, they were just a bad band. I think it turns out that the one was a pedophile.
You
know what I mean? Yeah. We used to play this game with people. And we would play, I can't remember the name of this song.
That one.
Bewitched.
Forget all the tracks.
No, it was that.
You're attractive.
Oh.
Little witch.
Bewitched, dude.
Was it Bewitched?
I remember the name of that song. Because of this.
We would play that song and figure out how long people could stand it being on. Only one person ever got through the song, and it was John Hughes.
Suffering.
And he only did it for the sake of saying that he could do it. But every other time we did it, it's like 10, 15 people. And every time, nobody ever made it past a minute and a half being like, dude, this fucking sucks. Can you turn this off? We would do it at random times too. Like, we'd all be like playing pool in the garage or whatever. And like, we'd just play it. And people would be like, what the fuck?
But so one time when we were in the Disguise before a show, we all decided to go get some food and we were all in my car. And I do this thing where if you're in my car, my rule is if I'm driving, when the Spotify's in, I pick the first song, rotates, next person gets next.
That's fair.
Gets.
I like that.
I always like to hear what other people like. Well, so when it got back to me, they're all playing, you know, stereotypical, like what we listen to stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got in there and like, I don't know why, but I was feeling in the mood for, have you guys ever seen the show Steven Universe?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
So there's a song in there. All I want to do is see a giant woman. That song. It's not even really like a good song or anything. It's just, I was in the mood to listen to it. So I put it on and it's very like a tone shift. It's like from what we were listening to. It gets immediately quiet in my car. The whole song goes. Uh-oh. Yeah, so the whole song goes and the song ends and I hand my phone over. I think Josh was sitting in the front seat at the time. And then it's just dead quiet in the car because Josh hasn't picked a song. And Jimmy out of nowhere goes, if we ever go on tour, you're not picking music.
I do this thing, like Dylan can attest to this
like
too.
It was the only thing said.
Like I have this like weird love for Robert Johnson. Like I like really soulful like shit. And like Robert Johnson is like that dude from the like when music first started being recorded. Like, he was, like, the first black that dude. You know what I mean? And he has so much lore about him. He was so fucking good that they started rumors that he sold his soul to the devil.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
They did a Supernatural episode about it. There's literally... It's fucking crazy because he literally was so smart that he started marketing his music to that rumor. Because he was making that music, and then people were like, yeah, this dude sold his soul to the devil. So he started making songs like Crossroad Blues and Me and the Devil Blues and shit. And it was fucking incredible. But like, I love Robert Johnson, but it's like really hard to listen to if you're like a really like if you can't listen to the Devil Wears Prada's first album, you don't want to ride in my car. Because if Robert Johnson comes on, we're going to listen to 9 more songs because I'm going to get into a hole. And you're going to have to listen to all of them. Like, it's just...
Do you guys fuck with any type... Like, I don't like... Personally, I don't like pop country music.
Oh,
like the, you know, like Garth Brooks style. But I love like the Avett.
Oh, wait,
brothers.
He said, you said, did you just shit on Garth Brooks?
I'm just, because not, like, I didn't shit on him.
Dylan,
I said,
you just got a reprieve for this episode,
hold up,
buddy.
Time out. I did not shit on him. I said, I am not a fan of that style of music.
You know what I love about Garth Brooks? He came from a time frame in music where, and I this is going to be hypocritical as fuck, where it didn't matter who wrote the fucking song. You know what I mean? If it was a good song, it was a good song. Garth Brooks had, he was writing with not just, that's the reason why he was so versatile, because he was writing with pop writers. He was writing with rock and roll writers. He was writing with country writers and stuff like
maybe
that.
Maybe it was a bad
He's
example.
Also one of the greatest performers of
but
all
But you
time.
Know what I mean. Like, I'm just not a fan of the country that's out right. It's
me
not,
either.
It's not my favorite
the
modern thing to listen stuff. To.
I like soulful, dirty country.
I love like Pokey Lafarge and the South City 3, the Avett Brothers. Like, I love that style.
He's really mainstream now, but are you familiar with Chris Stapleton?
Love Chris Stapleton. Yeah, actually. All my friends love him.
So talented.
I have never heard a song, but cool all my thing, friends...
You ever heard Tennessee Whiskey?
Oh, is that him?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So all of my friends are obsessed with him. They all bought so tickets good. To his show in, I think, Louisville. Mm-hmm. And then it got canceled because of Corona, and they were all pissed.
No, I strongly recommend taking some time. And listening to like, you can listen to like his popular songs. Like his mainstream songs are dope. Like
Before
Parachute.
You listen to his country stuff, go listen to the Johnson Brothers.
Oh yeah, that was
his rock band before. So he got discovered by a country artist that was already established playing with his rock band, the Johnson Brothers, where he's the guitar player, vocalist. And they released one album and it's badass, dude. They're such a good rock band. And somebody came up to him and they were like, dude, if you let me like turn you into like a country musician, like I'll help like produce you into that. I think you've got like, cause they were a Southern rock band.
Okay.
So they already kind of had like a twang to them. And he's like, bro, if you go in this direction, I promise you'll be the biggest thing on the planet.
And he is. He's the biggest country artist.
Have you guys ever heard of
him? It's like him and Luke Bryan, but fuck Luke Bryan. It's like him and like Bryce Lee or whatever that dude's name is.
Have you guys ever listened to All Them Witches?
Yes, dude. I love All the Witches.
Right, dude? There's something about their drummer and the way he drums that is different than any other drummer. He has this drive that, like, it's insane. I
love
that.
There's a whole genre. It's my favorite genre of music is, like, this dirty. It's, like, some people refer to it as, like, desert rock, but it's, like, this stoner rock style. You know, sort of like...
Like the Grateful Dead evolution.
Black Sabbath inspired.
I would see All the Witches. I would compare closer to Black Sabbath.
Yeah, it's there's Black Sabbath is Black Sabbath's lineage has evolved into its own thing, and it's not popular music. It's not mainstream. People are not paying attention to this,
should,
and
though.
It's some
Do
of the
favor.
Best
check out
shit.
All the Witches, man.
Because dude,
I have to do yourself
so
a favor
bands.
And check out Barnes Courtney.
Will do.
Oh, I love Barnes Courtney.
He has a song, and I have always said if. I needed like a small town gimmick as a professional wrestler. This song would be my theme song. It's called Glitter and Gold.
Okay.
And it's fucking flawless. It's so simple.
I love
so great.
Getting music suggestions. I mentioned Pokey Lafarge and the South City 3. You guys got to check that
out. I don't even know how to spell that.
Pokey, exactly how it sounds like. Pokey Lafarge.
Yeah. I get how to spell Pokey. I've seen Gumby.
If you type in Pokey space LA,
I'm trying to figure out how to spell Lumbargo or whatever the fuck you just heard.
Lafarge.
Sounds like a cheese.
L-A-F-A-R-G.
Is that a French cheese?
I know it is weird. But I saw him with Avett Brothers at Castle Rock, I think. Is that what that's called? That music festival? Or Newcastle Music Festival, I think?
I have no idea.
I think it's Newcastle. Or
not familiar
it's
with
in
it.
Like Louisville. The Newcastle, I think. I think it's like something Castle Music Festival.
Yeah, I don't know.
And dude, I have been hooked on him ever since.
I could show you. Like, I'm really, like, him and I sit and we'll listen to him all the time. Like, I'm really into, like, really bluesy, really soulful artists. That's why I like Shaman's Harvest.
Check out Black Pumas.
Do you listen to Shaman's Harvest?
I've never heard of them. I'll check them out.
Listen, dude, I just showed him their new album the other day.
We'll probably end up taking a break here in a minute because I have to use the bathroom and we're clubbing up on an hour. But like, when we'll take a break, I'll show you Shaman Harvest's Dirty Diana cover.
Absolutely.
And it'll change your fucking life. It is, in my opinion, the best Michael Jackson cover ever.
Okay, cool. And you got to check out Black Pumas.
That's
too.
Fine. That's cool.
So do you guys like bands that sound significantly older than like what they are?
Yes.
Like it.
Yes.
So you guys ever heard of Red Fang?
Yeah.
Love Red
I've
Fang,
heard
dude.
Of
okay.
Red Fang.
I've never listened to
it. Jason, for you, check out the song Wire.
Okay.
Wires.
Y'all are just going to have to make a list and send it to me.
Their music video where they
make a Spotify playlist of music Jason needs to
AJ showed them to me.
And then there's, you guys ever heard of Black Tide?
I
love Black Tide, okay. Dude.
Their older shit.
Their like, first album, fucking Warriors Shockwave, bro.
Bro, I'm clearly missing out. I've never
Black
heard
Tide,
of
okay. Oh my God. Black Tide started out. They were like 16 on stage on fucking tour with Avenged Sevenfold. It was crazy. But they had like this real like modern, like it sounded like it should have been made in the late 80s, early 90s. But it also sounded like it should have been made in the 2000s.
Oh, cool.
And it was so good. And then these guys
are virtuosos and then, on their instruments.
Then, yeah, and they're so talented that they literally switch styles completely in between their first and second album. And their second album is just as good. They have a really...
Would you call it post-hardcore that they turned into?
I would call it whatever the fuck you want to call Black Veil Brides. Or not Black Veil Brides, but Bullet for My Valentine. Yeah, whatever you would consider Bullet for My Valentine.
I have to check, you guys like all orgasmed at the same time. I clearly have to check them out.
That album. Fire by Black Veil. Yes. By fucking, I keep doing it. Black by Black Tide. Is just...
off the album Post-Mortem, right?
Oh my God.
What's the song they did with Matt Tuck from Bullet for My Valentine?
Ashes.
Ashes. Yeah, that was the first song.
Ashes.
Do you guys fuck with Balance and Composure?
I've never even heard of them.
Nope.
Oh, really? They're good too.
Nah, Black Tide's dope. We just need to make... Is everybody on Spotify here?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're on Spotify? We just need a communal fucking playlist. I just learned you can do this. I have one with somebody else. It's called
Just Carino put all of our favorite songs
really?
On
and
it.
And just start putting songs that you think everybody else should listen to on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You can do that?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm totally
What you do
that.
Is all you have to do is like, I'll make a playlist, right? And then I'll share it with all of you guys in the group chat. And then you can save the playlist and just add songs to it. And then we can all just go to that playlist and listen to stuff.
So real That's quick, awesome. before we go on the break, the one cool thing is that I keep mentioning Black Pumas, what's cool is they have their album, but they did this thing where they play their album live in the studio and it's 100% live.
Wonderful.
And it's on YouTube and it's amazing. You would think it was recorded, but it's not.
You want to know the one and only time I've ever thought that anybody who played with a Day to Remember, upstage a Day to Remember, is the first time I ever see Rise Against live.
I love Rise Against.
Is a great band and I know everybody listens to Rise Against, but like if you've never seen them live, even now that they're older and shit, go do it. We went and saw, it was in 2011, I think. It was around that time frame.
Something.
We got there so early, we were second in line to get in.
Nice.
Back.
Is that where we like befriended those random punk dudes?
That's when we learned how to play Bodum.
Wait, was this at,
this was at Riverbend.
What was it, like Warped Tour or what was it?
No, it was just, it was the first tour that Rise Against brought a Day to Remember on.
Because
it was either right before or right after What Separates Me From You.
I can't remember.
I think it was right before.
I might be mixing shows, but I saw Rise Against there. I also saw Street Dogs play there. And I'm not sure if it was Warped Tour or if it was just a random show.
There was a random pop punk band who was kind of gaining steam at the time. I can't remember their name. They all came out in like really, really short khaki shorts and white t-shirts. And they played. And then A Day to Remember played. And I was like, yeah, fuck. Sorry, Rise Against. And then Rise Against opened with which might still be my favorite song by them. And it's called Survivor's Guilt. And they came out swinging, bro. And that's one of the best. Their light show was on point. Like they, like everybody says it. It's definitely never happens now. But like back in the day, like it was a big thing. Like when a band sounded how they sounded on record.
Yeah. Well, I still think
how
that,
they sound on.
I still think that's a big thing.
Live.
Yeah.
I will say I don't fuck with Attila for real. But one thing I will say about Franz is he does not do anything vocally in the booth that he can't do live.
I was just telling him. We were literally just talking about that.
Yeah,
I love the
Hunt
sound
the
of Hunt the Dinosaur.
Ah! Sorry.
I love the sound that Attila and Hunt the Dinosaur have.
I hit my elbow
that,
on my
that,
chair,
like,
by the way.
Rappy scream.
It's not funny, is it?
No. Not at all. You fucking 94-year-old uncle.
Anyway, so I love their music, their sound, like that fast rap screaming thing. I just can't get over their lyrics.
Their
they're
lyrics
so
are trash.
Bad.
I will say they've gotten better lyrically, but they're still bad.
Did you guys listen
I remember
to Bone
the
Crew?
First time I showed him Attila. It was
Bone
in my
Crew
old
is
apartment.
Actually, like, it's another example. Fucking awesome to listen to. I just can't get into the lyrics though, man.
We tried to start beef with Franz because he started saying trap metal. And I don't know that
didn't West
Twink is still better.
Stage. That's actually, I can tell you a funny story about that too. We don't know if we're the first people to coin trap metal. Probably not. But what we do know is it was not a big niche. There was maybe one or two other bands in the country that were gaining momentum as a trap metal band.
I think it's Day X Day. They go by trap metal.
Another one called Knockout Kings. We played with them in Louisville. And there's another one. I can't remember what they're called, but they're pretty decent too. But it wasn't a big thing. Now, everybody for like 6 months was talking about trap metal because Franz invented a new genre. And we were like, no. No, you did not. And what's fucked up is like, we had a moment where we actually thought Franz was biting us. Because, we actually thought Franz was biting us because there was a lyric that he had made that was it sounded like a reference to fucking 9 to 5. And then there was, you know, him, you know, branding himself as trap metal now. And there was the fact that an ex-member of The World I Knew used to, I don't know if he ran merch for him or whatever, but he used to work with Attila. So when he, they came, the same show that Wes got on stage and performed with Attila, they were hanging out with him on the bus and shit. And they were talking to them and showing them stuff from, specifically Franz, showing them stuff and all this other shit. And he was really fucking into it. He was really into the idea of trap metal and all this other stuff. And then, you know, 3 years later, he has a trap metal group now. He went and got a black guy to validate his rap skills. That was sarcasm, people. I'm not saying you, like, it's not being racist. It's just what he did. And then, which he has none. He's not a good rapper. Great, great metal vocalist. Terrible.
I mean,
rapper.
That chopper scream that he's got, pretty cool.
Okay. When he scream raps, he's amazing.
That's awesome.
But when he just rap raps, he's awful. But so there was like a time frame where we were literally like, we need to get big enough, quick enough that we can come for Franz's throat. Because if we go back and forth with Franz, I'm going to kill him. You know what I mean? Pin for pin. Like, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but I'm above average to good writer. My lane is battle rap. That's always been my favorite songs. It's my favorite genre of rap now. I get on the URL or King of the Dot or fucking Rare Breed or whatever and watch battles all the time. So I'm like, Franz's pin is garbage. If we can get into a war with them, I'm going to fucking murder this man. And I was like, we should do it for marketing purposes. Absolutely. And the fact that we are like, I'm still not 100% sure that he wasn't biting us, because artists do that shit all the time. Let's not pretend like it's not, it's completely fucking far-fetched that this dude found out about a local niche band and was like, oh, I can make that work. That shit happens all the time. Bands do it. Comics do it. Fucking writers do it. Every fucking artist genre. There are people who steal from people who are doing original shit because they have a bigger name and they can bury those other people. That happens all the time. That's how Elvis got famous.
Oh yeah,
I hate the fact that SoundCloud artists get bitten like that.
It happens
all
the time.
There are people who literally shop SoundCloud for copyright-free material that they can do that kind of shit with. I've seen a lot of big acts accused of that.
I think this country doesn't value artistry, musicians like they should, because quite frankly, The World I Knew, and in my opinion, in disguise, should have been paid artists.
I agree.
Like,
there's a lot of Cincy bands that should have been paid artists.
Absolutely.
Off the rip. No, I have to ignore Twick because of, I don't want to sound like I'm being an asshole. So, you know, Eternal Void.
Yeah.
Eternal Void needs to be signed tomorrow. They adhere to so much of the subgenres at once. You know what I mean? Deathcore dudes love them. Metalcore dudes love them. Hardcore dudes love them. Fucking pop punk dudes love them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Same with Avanti. Metalcore people and pop punk people fuck with Avanti.
I don't understand how they're not famous yet.
And they have that ability, if they wanted to evolve into a radio rock metal sound because of where they're at right now and how they do what they do so well, that they could eventually, if they got like a real major career, they could evolve into that sound and eventually really make some fucking money.
Third Person Omega is another one.
Third Person Omega is so good.
They just released a new video.
Did they? I haven't seen it.
I don't know if it's new. They posted a video.
I know. I talked to Eli a year ago. It was the last time I talked to him. And I was asking what they were doing because they don't do a whole lot. And it makes me sad because Third Person Omega is so good.
Yeah. I like Villa a lot too.
Villa's pretty good. Who's that other fucking band? I heard that the Earthlight Bear's coming back.
Are they really?
That's what I heard.
That last album was good as fuck.
Talk about a good front man.
Oh.
Holy cow.
Oh, he's
when
amazing.
I saw him, I was like, wow.
You'd like the Earthlight Bear. You'd also like Eternal Void. Eternal Void has the heaviest fucking Alice in Chains cover I've ever heard. They covered Them Bones.
That's awesome. Ooh,
they covered
that's
Them Bones.
Awesome.
And it is brutal and it is dirty. And you'd,
nice.
You'd love it.
I saw a post the other day. If you ever listen to this, I can't remember who it was, but it was a great post. Someone said, I'm tired of pretending that Alice in Chains isn't
yes.
better than Nirvana.
Right. Yes.
I gotta say this, man.
I've never pretended.
I love Nirvana.
No.
I love Nirvana. I love Nirvana because I love...
I'm not a big grunge guy, but I think they're all right.
I'm not a grunge guy at all. But I don't like grunge because of what it turned into. You know what I mean? When you talk about your early grunge bands, you have to mention Nirvana. And Nirvana was more like... If you talk about grunge bands, like it was punk grunge. You know what I mean? And they were in that middle lane where like they were more punk than grunge because they created grunge. You know what I mean? Well, mm-hmm. they didn't create it, but they were big into... They were one of the spearheads that created grunge.
The tone of grunge music,
I just,
though, so good.
I'm fascinated by Nirvana. Not just Kurt Cobain. Like, Kurt Cobain's a fascinating person. But, like, the whole band. Like, the way everything worked.
That's how I feel about the Sex Pistols. Their stories.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like them, but I find them fascinating.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
I don't like their
music. I could read about them all day.
But, no, going back to that funny-ass Attila West story. So, they spent all this time... on the bus with them, they got to know him relatively well. Then they went, back into the crowd to watch the show. And then at the time, they were doing this thing Attila was doing this thing on tour where they would bring up two people from the crowd.
Yeah, I watched the video.
Who knew the words to Payback, air quotes, because that's important. Come on stage, have a little scream off, and the crowd picks who does the song with them. And then whoever wins does Payback with Franz. So Wes had everybody in the area just pointing at him. So they call Wes up. They call this other dude up. And I'm not trying to suck Wes's dick. But if you're not a talented vocalist who does this shit, you're not beating Wes. You're going to get shit on.
In my opinion, when I seen the video of this, I thought like Wes should have just done the whole song by himself. Fuck Franz.
I mean, they're very different vocalists. Very different. But
I mean, his overall like sound in general just made the song.
His vocals
sound
are more full.
Better.
You can tell his techniques better because his vocals are full. That's kind of what I love about Wes's vocals. Is there's Wes, if you know Wes, he's not a really technical guy as a person. You
see
know what
the
mean?
Ball, hit the ball.
Yeah, that's how Wes is. You know what I mean?
It's kind of how I am.
He swings for the fences, he makes contact, he knocks it out the fucking park if he can. He's not a technical guy. So it's so crazy that like he has such technical screaming ability. And he never approached it
naturally
that way.
Talented.
He just got good at it. He learned how to do it. He worked on it from an unorthodox, almost redneck, quote unquote, fucking approach to it, and became a fucking monster. And he's not as diverse scream wise as a lot of other vocalists. He's got a lot of diversity to him. I'm like, don't get me wrong. He's a fucking monster. I'm never gonna say he's not. He's got hella talent, but he's not super diverse like a lot of your vocalists are. But he sticks to the fundamentals. And he fucking mastered them quickly. And he's got such, like, you listen to vocalists a lot. Like, again, Franz is another version of it where you hear, like, it's breathy. You know what I mean? You hear a lot of speech tone to it. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily all scream. You can kind of hear the underlying tone. You can tell that he's not doing it 100% correctly. And there is, for people who don't listen to heavier music, there is a technique. That's why I fucking hate when people say, oh, well, everybody can scream into a microphone. No, you fucking can't.
Have you seen that for an hour on stage, bro, and tell me how you feel if you don't
do it for four nights in a row.
Have you seen the Jared Dines video?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, where he made people do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, and the thing with Wes is like, he's just, he nails it. Like when it comes to scream vocals, like if you don't do this shit, you are 100% not going to fuck with him. So he got on stage. He kills this dude. And then he performs Payback with Franz. And he murders it. The crowd loves him. You know what I mean? That's probably the most shared Twick video. It's just a non-Twick video of Wes killing it on stage with Franz. But the best part of that is Wes has no idea what the lyrics to Payback are. He has no idea. He has no fucking idea. He's on stage. Just he knows the song. So he's screaming, and when you're a good scream vocalist and people can't hear your voice underneath your fucking vocals, it's a trick. You don't have to say the lyrics because 90% of the time,
watermelon.
Most people don't know what you're saying. I've seen him do that one other time. We were in Tennessee playing with Five Stories, and they did this thing where they had the vocalist of each band come up for a cover of Your Betrayal. Wes doesn't listen to fucking Bullet for My Valentine. He does not know the words to this song. So the whole fucking time, he's just standing there, just he knows where to scream. That's what he knows. He does not know the words to the song. And he's just fucking getting it. And I'm staring at him, just laughing. And we've like had this weird like non-twin connection thing where we both realized that I knew what he was doing at that moment.
I've seen him do it on stage. Like he'll be singing. He'll go on stage and go like that while he's singing. You can see his teeth. He's smiling a little bit.
Yeah. And it was just, it's just so funny. And I think honestly, like it sounds like he's an asshole, but he's not. That's just a testament to how good he is. You know what I mean? He's such a great performer, taking his technical skill away, that like he can do that. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that he doesn't know the words. You don't care because you're recognizing how good he is at what he does. And it's fucking impressive, honestly.
The most impressive, what song is it where he has this scream that he holds out for like an eternity?
Be more
at
specific.
Least live.
Yeah, you're gonna be more specific.
Know some lyrics.
I can't remember, but there's one Twix song that he did live, and it's just like the longest scream. And I'm like, bro, you got like lungs of an elephant.
I'm trying to remember. It was off the Lit and the Lost.
It's just like
Burn Me Alive.
Like, regardless, the point is, dude,
that
like
it's probably my favorite song.
A lot of people can scream, but like not a lot of people could scream and hold out the scream for as long as like I watch this man on stage go, yeah. For like an eternity, it felt like I was like, "Whoa!"
It
dude,
might
that's
be self-made.
Crazy.
It might be self-made, where he's like, because the end of it, it's like, "Tomorrow never comes," and he's just like, "Go."
And I think there was a little bit because
it
was live.
Self-made. It is self-made.
I think it might be, but when it's live, he puts a little more, like a little longer on it. Yeah. It's just like, "What?"
Because you know, obviously, that when the song ends, his vocals end. You know what I mean? Right. But when he does that song live, which they don't do live very much, they did it live a lot when they first wrote it. When we first wrote it. And then he did it live. They did it live a lot right after The Lit and the Lost came out. But like a month or two after The Lit and the Lost came out, like they don't really do it live very much, which sucks because that's one of my favorite songs on that album. But I also really like, what's the name of the song? I'm blanking here because it's still the morning. There's another, it's one of the two Fuck Religion songs on that album, and I love that. At first, I had an issue with
Disbelief.
It, but I love that. Disbelief's not a Fuck Religion song. It's
sounds like
it's Self Made Messiah is the one I'm talking about. Endless Gray is the song that has the long ass scream. Self Made Messiah. We were doing that, and this is gonna sound racist, people. Heads up. We were trying to figure out something cool to do for that, like, I don't know what to call the part, but it's like when everything comes up, and it's like he does that black, what we called the black preacher voice.
Mm-hmm.
We were literally, we started about. Coming up with ideas, and we were like, bro, I have this perfect idea. And I was like, bro, hear me out. Black preacher voice. He's like, what? I was like, you know how like there's like yell chants in songs? I was like, this song is entirely about denouncing faith. Let's do where you sound like a black preacher telling people. And it's a positive song. It's not like a negative song. Like the whole, like it's your actions that define you and all that shit. Like we literally, the reason why that sounds the way it does is because we wanted him to sound like a fucking black preacher. It's fucking great. No, me and Wes had a lot of fun writing. We did a lot of like weird shit that like when we were writing, same song, when we were writing the first verse of that, I was trying to end the first verse on a line that like sounded edgy. And it was like, fuck your one begotten son, just know I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's so simple. Like, it's not a super deep line. I mean, it's a reference, you know what I mean? I guess in some sense, you know what I mean? But it's not super deep. It just hits hard. Because it's like, it shows the frustration that we were going for as far as the emotion of that song.